Welcome to Wake Up Podcast with Viv Trader. Viv is a curious person with the desire to embrace different opinions and expertise. Her focus is health, well-being, environmental, and political. She holds a non-judgmental approach and she is objective. Viv's ambition is to raise your awareness and contribute to a better world. She is also the founder of Vivalicious Food, which produces an innovative vegan baby food with added omega-3 from an algae oil. www.vivaliciousfood.com.
Today, I have the real honor and pleasure of having Daniel Newsom here as my guest. I'm so delighted to see you. How are you doing?
I am amazing. I'm even more so now that I'm experiencing your energy and I can feel the presence of spirit. So I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really happy too. I'm just full of energy. I'm just can't wait to get to know you a bit better. So, Daniel, where are you in the world?
I am in New York. I'm in Washington Heights, which is the most northern part of Manhattan before the Bronx.
Wow, cool.
Yeah,
very busy.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you born in New York or?
No, I was born in Detroit, Michigan, and lived there for 12 years. My parents divorced when I was four, and my father began to work in Toledo, Ohio, which is 60 miles south of Detroit. So I would see him on the weekends, and I moved in with him when I was 12. So I grew up in Detroit and Toledo.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Daniel, can you please tell me who are you?
Who am I? Oh my God, what a question. Well, in this particular lifetime, I identify as male. I was born, physically as a man. I am, in this lifetime, I'm a gay man. I'm obviously an African-American man. Most importantly, I am a man of God. I am a mystic. The struggle for me really was not so much in being a Black man, but being a gay man. And it caused me to have to find God outside of religion. I was born with spiritual psychic sensitivity that I really could not understand. And for a while, I really didn't believe in. Because there was just a truckload of other emotional problems that I had. But through reaching a point of crisis and calling out to God, knowing that God was not really what religions teach us that God is, I asked for help. And I was guided to a psychotherapist who was also a channel. So I was guided to someone who could not only help me to heal emotionally, but would also have an understanding of my own spiritual psychic abilities. And through working with her, I totally healed and my own channel opened up and I became a mystical, metaphysical minister and a channel for the Holy Spirit of God and the archangelic realms. And my focus at this point in my life is really helping my siblings on earth who are open to transform the consciousness, energy, and patterning within them that creates pain, suffering, struggle, and lack. Because through my own experience, I understand that we are meant to be in the consciousness of heaven, where there is no pain, suffering, struggle, and lack. You know, in the Bible, when in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus is quoted as saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Very beautiful words. But my own journey in this lifetime has shown me that that is the truth. I gave you such a long answer to one question.
I love just it. I'm just loving it. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. It's funny that how we are born with challenges. You know, you're saying you had a problem, you were gay and you, you know, were black and, you know, the racism that's been going on for years around the world. And then having the psychic abilities as well and meeting the right psychiatric to work with that can understand you and help you through your healing journey. All being guided, of course. When you first sort of realized you had the psychic abilities, can you explain a bit more about that? What did that journey look like for you?
What a great question. And it takes me back to the experience I would have of, you know, I'd be in a particular room and I could actually feel how the energy of the room was affecting me. Or I'd be around a particular person and I could feel how their energy was affecting me. And it was just, I just somehow knew that I'm feeling things that a lot of people aren't. And then when I went into adolescence, it really became more, I'll use the word accentuated. But at that time also, my emotional struggles came to a head. And I remember I was at a performing arts high school, and I was doing a play, and the costume designer could not find the costumes she set aside for us in the play. And I instantaneously knew where they were. And now I remember also during that time, it was the first time I was able to see with my physical eyes an aura around someone. And this, I also opened up into my first loving sexual relationship at that time. And I had the experience in making love of this powerful electrical otherworldly energy that began to run through me. And my lover at that time felt it also. So those were the kinds of experiences that really brought home to me that my spiritual psychic sensitivity. Prior to that, as a younger person, I remember as a child, I would have these very, very frightening out-of-body experiences. And also a couple of times I saw, I guess I saw spirits in my home. And what I think one of the most significant experiences there, I must have been perhaps 3 years old. I was in our basement, and there was a section of the basement that was kind of dark. And I went back to that section of the basement, and this woman who was a Caucasian woman was there, and she started talking to me, but I don't remember what she said. But I swear when I met my spiritual teacher when I was 21, I think it was her. I think it was her higher self, her own spirit coming to me. It's making me very emotional. Coming to me when I was a little boy, kind of reassuring me that, you know, I was on a particular journey in this life. And I have to tell you, around that same time, I think I was 3 years old, I had this experience where I woke up one morning and both of my parents were asleep. I went downstairs and I was sitting at the foot of our basement staircase. And I had the thought, you chose these parents. Now, how is a three-year-old going to have a thought like that? So that is my answer to your second question. You ask these questions and they elicit such long answers from me, but that's you're a great interviewer.
Wow. So 3 years old.
Yeah.
Amazing. And you were saying when you were 21, you met your spiritual guide.
Yes. Right? I am. Yes, absolutely.
How did that occur? What happened then?
So right before I met her, I was suicidal. And I remember that I had enough, I think, spiritual sense to know that if I killed myself, that was really not going to be helpful to me. Was not going to solve my problems. In fact, would probably just set me back or delay me from dealing with what I really needed to deal with. So at that point, I called out for God. I didn't experience God in the way that I do now. It was more of a theoretical knowledge that God exists. It was faith, but I called out to God and I said, I'm done. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be on this earth. I don't know how to be human. I have no joy. Help. And at that time I was in New York working as an actor, and I got cast in a play, and that play required me, the rehearsal schedule required me to change dance classes. And so in this new dance class, I met this very nice woman, and I was living with my grandparents in Westchester, and the class was in Manhattan, and sometimes it was late at night, and she would let me stay over in her apartment. And one night, you know, after we came home, and she looked at me and she said, I know you feel like you're having a nervous breakdown, but you're really not. And she just started to tell me everything that was going on inside of me. And I was at that time, I was a very, you know, hot-headed, arrogant young man, and I didn't really listen to people, but I was like, wow, this woman is psychic, and she is telling me about myself, and how would she even know this? So I opened up to her, and then she started to counsel me using the pathwork of the guide, the channeled lectures from Eva Pirakos, which I'll talk about in a moment. And it was very helpful, but then my father died, and that took me into a whole other level of crisis. And she said, Danny, I've taken you as far as I can go with you. I think you need to work with my teacher, Anne. So that is how I met my spiritual teacher. And the work that Anne did with me was just amazing. She was a student of Eva Pirakos. Who was, right. You know Eva?
No, I don't. I want to find out.
Okay. So Eva channeled the pathwork of the guide. She worked as a trance medium from 1958 to 1978. And what came through her channel was this synthesis of psychotherapy and spirituality. And it's so amazing because psychotherapy can only take you to a certain level, because even though you become aware of why you're screwed up, what is it that's going to actually change you? It's not just awareness. It's really only the power of spirit that's going to change you. So, you know, in my very first session with Anne, she picked up psychically that my real problem had to do with my feelings of being rejected by my mother. But more than her picking that up, I felt embraced in the light of spirit. And by the way, it was the same kind of energy I felt with my lover 4 years ago. And that opened me to the understanding that spirituality, the spirit of God, is very connected to sexual energy. And one of the teachings that's come through my channel is that sexuality is the essence of the energy of God. So I am working with Anne, I started to heal. I think I was an undiagnosed bipolar. And, you know, I lived with, you know, mood swings and what's now called suicidal ideation. All of a sudden, as we would just work on my childhood stuff, that stuff just started to leave me. And I started to feel good, like I could, you know, get through the day and not only get through the day, but feel balanced. Also, I had an eating disorder. I was a binger, and we never even addressed that. We just worked on me and my issues with my mother and myself, and you know, what happened to me in school with being teased and every, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the eating disorder went away.
Just went. Oh, I get chills now.
yeah. So, in working with Anne, not only did I heal, but it also, my own channel began to open up, and that was my calling to become a minister. I don't even know if I mentioned that I'm a minister. I think I did, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just, something inside of me was deeply, deeply moved, and I felt I want to be able to do this kind of work with other people because this work has saved my life. I've actually forgotten the question you asked me, but that's...
No, but we were talking about you met your spirit guide, Anne, at 21. Well,
I met her. Yeah, so that was... So, you know, it was seemingly a coincidence, but it, of course it wasn't. It was spirit
divinely guided
to what I needed because I was open.
Wow. So cool. And now, what is a minister? For those who don't know... You are a minister. So what is a minister? Can you please tell me a little bit about your work as a minister?
Sure. So, you know, I got ordained through a spiritualist church. Do you know what spiritualism is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Spiritualist church, because that was a denomination that would embrace my psychic spiritual self.
But maybe we should mention it for others who listen, so you don't know what it is.
So spiritualism is a religion, or it's kind of an offshoot of Christianity. And I'm saying that with a chuckle because, I mean, I think traditional Christians would run for the hills if they heard me say that. But an offshoot of Christianity, in which it's believed that God wants us to have contact with the spirit world and to receive guidance and inspiration from the world of spirit. So the focus with spiritualists was basically to prove that there was life beyond death, physical death. And so the spiritualism was built around people who were mediums, who had the ability to communicate with other people's loved ones or friends who had passed into the world of spirit. So I became first ordained in that, I'll call it a denomination. I only wanted to become ordained so that I could work as a spiritual counselor one-on-one with people. That's what I really, really love to do. But I did get ordained through a church, and it's the branch of the church that was located in Manhattan, and the pastor of that church resigned, and there was basically no one else to take over the church except me. And I made a vow to spirit that when it came to serving spirit, I would always say yes. So I became pastor of this church. I was only 28 years old, which basically means I'm responsible for doing the services and teaching the classes and creating the curriculum for the congregation. So that's what I do as a minister. However, once I became The minister of the church, the emphasis became more on inner transformation. Just as I began our talk today, the emphasis became on using our connection with the angelic realm and the Holy Spirit of God and its grace to transform the consciousness, energy, and patterning within us that create pain, suffering, struggle, and lack. So, you know, here I am. I'm 61 now. So I was ordained when I was 29. So here I am all these years later. I'm still the title I have now is still the spiritual director of this church. It dissolved as a spiritual church in the year 2000. And so I and three other people formed a new church called the Sacred Light Fellowship, an interfaith metaphysical fellowship. The three other people who founded the church with me, one resigned, but she's still very much alive on the earth and we're very close friends. The other two people have passed on into the world of spirit.
Right. Wow. Amazing. And you're 61. I would never, ever think that for a day. Like,
well, God love you. Thank you.
No, I wouldn't, honestly. So who do you channel in church?
So at the, you know what's interesting is Archangel Michael is coming through a lot these days in my church and in the classes that I teach. And Brother Jesus seems to always be a part of my ministry and work because I'm very much a student of A Course in Miracles. And when the angelic realm comes through my channel to minister to people, the teaching and the process is always coming through the context of A Course in Miracles. So I'll ask you, are you familiar with what The Course in Miracles is?
Yeah, I know what it is. It's beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I explain it anyway.
Okay, sure. For your listeners who don't know. Okay, so The Course in Miracles came through a psychotherapist who was working in Manhattan in the 60s and early 70s. Her name was Dr. Helen Schuchman. And she was having a lot of infighting and ego stuff going on with her department. She was a research psychologist at Columbia University. And she was very conflicted with all of this stuff that was going on. And in her spirit, she was crying out, there must be a better way. And for her, it was about there must be a better way to be in relationship with my fellow human beings. So she began to have very, very vivid dreams and that seemed to be very rich with symbols. And she asked her colleague, a guy named Dr. William Tetford, she began to hear an inner voice. And the voice said, this is A Course in Miracles. Please take notes. So she then went to her colleague, Dr. William Tetford, and said, you know, I'm hearing an inner voice, and it's telling me this is A Course in Miracles. Please take notes. What should I do? And he said, well, write down what the voice says. And so that is how A Course in Miracles was born. And the author of the course was Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus. And he came through Helen to correct the errors in Christianity. And one of the biggest errors was the sense that he is the special son of God and that we are not equal to him and cannot reach God directly. And he says in the course that we are all collectively the Christ and that everything that we feel and believe he is, that's who we are in truth. And his work is to help us to realize that. So he's very clear. He clearly describes what the ego consciousness is, and that's the part of us that is self-destructive, self-hating, not with no real
fear.
Sense. Yeah, with no real sense of self-love because it's disconnected from God. And then he describes the part of us that's the Christ, the holy, beloved, innocent daughter, son of God, who is actually in complete oneness with God. And so the course is about how the ego, the layers of the ego, is transformed through what he calls the miracle, which is just the influx of grace into specific thoughts, feelings, and beliefs that are creating your pain, suffering, struggle, and lack. Now, what's fabulous for me is that because my own channel is so open, Brother Jesus and the angels are kind of bringing it through in a really, really streamlined way and saying, the only thing we need in order to accept and be in the consciousness of heaven is radical self-forgiveness. And all of our pain, suffering, struggle, and lack are coming from the guilt within the ego and the ego's desire to punish the self, to deny the self. But if you accept that you are radically forgiven for absolutely anything and everything you've ever judged yourself for in this lifetime and in any other lifetime, you will find there is no reason to create for yourself experiences of pain, suffering, struggle, and lack. They are meaningless. They serve no purpose. God is always inviting you into heaven. So that's how it's coming through my channel. And of course, it's very easy to say those words. They're very beautiful. They're very empowering. But the miracle is when a shift occurs in your deep emotional body and you feel that, when you feel your innocence and your deservingness and the fact that all is forgiven and there's nothing to forgive, that's when you change and your life changes.
And you had to go through the healing as well to heal yourself, to, you know, sort yourself out and then
exactly
become a channel and step into your higher self and your mission, right?
Yes. You know, it's, you asked who comes to my church. Well, the other fascinating thing is the feminine polarity of God, known as the mother of creation, is starting to come not only through me, but I'm sure through many people on the earth and several people in my church. But last Sunday,
You're getting chills again. Yes, love it.
Okay. Last Sunday, this part of God, the mother, came through my channel, and she said, you must speak to me. She was talking to everybody. You must speak to me every day, and you must bring forth anything, everything that's hurt you. Anything, everything that's angered you, anything, everything that has caused you to feel afraid or frustrated, you can't skip the step of bringing my love into everything within you that has pulled you out of the joy, love, and peace that we created you to dwell in. So that's when you say sorting yourself out, that's the process, and we can't skip that. And it's beautiful. I mean, she went on to say that prayer is not just about saying rote prayers, but it's about really telling me what's going on inside of you and what do you want to change or shift or transform within yourself.
Yeah, everything starts from within, right?
Yes.
So your higher self, what is your higher self to you?
My higher self is the part of myself that's absolutely and absolutely and totally in union with God, with the source. And so it's the part of me that's guiding me in the process of bringing all parts of myself into union with God's will, which is that I be, and that we all be completely happy and totally fulfilled. And I think it's my higher self that allows me to, it's the bridge that allows me to reach the Holy Spirit in the angelic realm and to bring that intelligence and love through my channel. So that's what I feel my higher self is. It's the part of me that's already, I'll use the word perfect, that's already all loving. And it's getting this human egoic part of myself. It's guiding that part of myself into union with God.
Beautiful. Love it. Gorgeous. Now, Archangel Michael, what is his work right now when we're entering into higher frequencies? They're obviously here to assist us all in the shift, transformation. What do you feel his work is focused on for you?
Yes. Several years ago, maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, he came through my channel and he said that he's been charged with the task of bringing to the earth plane the consciousness of infinite deservingness. Archangel Michael, I can't begin to say that I understand who Archangel Michael is. I can only give you my limited experience of Archangel Michael. His frequency is so intense. It is so laser-like. It just cuts through any, excuse my language, any crap within us. And it's very, very direct. And the ancient mystics referred to Archangel Michael as like unto God. So that he's got that kind of a powerful love. It's almost cutting, it's penetrating. So I think right now in my work as a teacher and as a minister, it's really to help people to bring the self into the consciousness of infinite deservingness, which is, of course, the release of guilt and self-judgment, but in a way where his love, which is like a laser, if you open to it and let it in, it comes in and it's like, oh yeah,
wow,
I am infinitely deserving.
How cool is that?
It's very cool, yes.
How did you, did he tell you, it's Archangel Michael here, I'm coming for you?
That's another interesting question, because when I first started to channel professionally, I didn't believe in the archangels, because my teacher, Anne, she never really had guides with names and that kind of thing. And that was cool. I just felt like I would call them the angels of healing and transformation. They came through me. No names, no nothing like that, but just the teaching the person needed. And I was very happy that way, very comfortable. And then I was doing a private session with someone. We happened to be in my church space. And I felt a new energy, a very particular kind of energy, just as I described Archangel Michael's energy as laser-like. It came through in this private session. And I just heard in my channel, I'm Michael. And I was like, oh my God. So that he was actually the first archangel that came to me through my channel. And it happened spontaneously in a private session.
Wow. And how long ago is that?
Oh my God, that was so long ago. God. That must have been I'm sorry. The first archangel that came was Archangel Gabriel in 1993. I think Archangel Michael came perhaps 3 years after that, maybe 96.
Long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, long time ago.
Do you see in your private sessions, do you see a pattern of your clients? They're coming for the same reasons to you? Are you drawn to a certain topic? Like, do you see any patterns?
You know, there's just one thing, and that really is radical self-forgiveness. People need to release guilt. That's really what A Course in Miracles says. Mm-hmm. So whatever the issue is, you know, it's well, the interesting thing about the work that came through Eva Pirlakos is that her guide said that whatever happens to you in your childhood, you're just bringing with you the patterns from past lifetimes that you want to work through, make progress with in this lifetime. So whatever happens to you in your childhood is not quote unquote new. It's a reactivation of stuff that has germinated
accumulated.
Yeah, accumulated within you in past lifetimes. So people can come to me with various situations, you know, anxiety, fear, financial lack or loneliness, or not being able to manifest the relationships they want or the work they want. But it's all one thing, and it's really not feeling deserving of the heaven that God wills for us all. And it can come to you because that you felt rejected by your mother, as I did mm-hmm. in my lifetime, or mm-hmm. whatever the
yeah, sure.
particular form is. Yeah. But it's all one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny that we past lives. How you? I did my last 3 years, and past life regression, and I can understand completely why I had my childhood and why I am the way I am, and my fears, and you know, my missions, my higher self. It's all sort of intertwined because everything is energy, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, are you able to see past lives too when you help your clients? Can you go back and do regressions?
Regressions and the angelic realm, if it is important for a person to deeply understand a past life, they will describe it for the person. But it's not really, you know, the primary focus of my work. It's kind of if it's going to help the person to have conscious knowledge of it, then they will give it to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Brilliant. Now, Daniel, what is your biggest fear, or what is the biggest fear you have met, conquered?
Well, I am happy to say that the Spirit of God has brought me into a place of such fearlessness, and the one little lingering fear that I notice within myself has to do with the fear of rejection, that I won't be loved and accept and embraced. Like I notice if I go to a party and I don't know people, or you know, I'm married to somebody who's very gregarious, very outgoing, and I notice that I have this, I want to like withdraw. And I feel like that's just the fear that I'm not going to be loved and embraced. And I work with everything with spirit. And one of the things that, and I know this intellectually, is that not everybody is going to like you, love you, and embrace you. And you don't really need everyone to like you, love you, and embrace you. And as long as you get that you are the Son of God, and that is the source of your love, you can show up, you can love everyone, and the people who resonate with you and who like you and who embrace you and love you, great. Those who don't, you don't need anything from them. And the Holy Spirit in working with me will ask me, well, why do you need people to like you, love you, and embrace you? And it, well, number one, it feels good. But number two, it helps me to love myself. And they will say, okay, that's where you need correction, because the ability to love yourself needs to only come from your experience of yourself as being the Son of God. So that's the one little lingering fear that I'm still working through.
That's a big one. Rejection has such a profound impact. If you have it in childhood, it sort of carries on throughout your whole life. Because you were saying intellectually, you know that you don't need to be approved by everyone. But on a child's, you know, a two-year-old child, emotionally, the little Daniel inside you is different.
Yeah.
And you always have your inner child with you that pops up.
Yeah,
and it's, I think it's important to recognize that as well, that we all have inner children. We are all small children walking around in adult bodies as well.
Yeah,
and we will be, you know, it doesn't matter how healed, there still will be some moments when you get triggered depending on the situation and what you're meeting, you know, and encountering. So self-acceptance, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, amazing. Where do you hope we are in 10 years in the world from now?
Really, honestly. Okay. Just allow my siblings on Earth, I give them the space to just experience self, to experience their consciousness, energy, and patterning and form. I can't say that I have not been upset by the things I've seen in the world in my life, because I have in the past. But more and more, I'm really embracing the truth that came through Eva's guide, that this earth plane is a sphere of purification where souls who are out of balance come. We experience our out-of-balance state in form, and we're given the opportunity to transform. So my hope for people, but it's totally up to them, is that more people in the next years on Earth choose to transform. Look at self and say, you know what? I want to show up as love. I don't want to add to the unlovingness in the world. I want to change. I want to work on myself. I want to open to my, if you call it your higher power, God, divinity, whatever it is that can heal you. I hope that more and more people choose that path. And I would just say, on a purely practical, physical level, in my country right now, we are in a big mess. And just in a practical way, I hope more people participate in voting and voting into power, people of integrity and people who have inner morality and people who are guided by love. I would like the whole world, the citizens, all the citizens on Earth, to, if they happen to live in democracies, to do that. But again, it's really up to them. So that's my honest answer to your question.
Thank you for being so authentic. Thank you so much for coming today. Is there anything else you'd like to have as a final word before we end our lovely conversation?
Well, yes, I'd like to let your audience know, if you'd like to work with me or to attend my church services, I'd like to tell them how to do that, if I may.
Absolutely. Bring it on.
Okay, thank you. So the correct spelling of my name is D-A-N-I-E-L. N like Nancy, E U S like Sam, O M. So you can go to my website, which is danielnewsom.com. And you'll find out all about my work and how you can get in touch with me. And also, we've got a really dynamic, as I said, interfaith, metaphysical, mystical church called the Sacred Light Fellowship, S-A-C-R-E-D-L-I-G-H-T-F-E-L-L-O-W-S-H-I-P, Sacred Light Fellowship. So our website is thesacredlightfellowship.org. And there are links to the church website on my personal website. That'll give you all the info about my church, my books, my work, everything. So that is how, that's the final thing I'd like to say. And thank you so much for asking me to be a part of your podcast. And thank you for the work you are doing in the world.
Oh, thank you, Daniel. I will also put all your contact details in the description so people can read and reach you there as well.
Okay. Thank
yeah,
you so
for
much.
Sure. Thank you, Daniel. It's been a real pleasure. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. All the best.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I hope you got some valuable information today. Wake up. Wake up. And thanks for checking in and waking up. See you next time.